Well, good morning. It is a joy to be with you this 4th of July, you know, and happy Canada Day, belatedly, to any of you who have Canadian connections. I certainly rejoice that I live in a nation that allows me as a conscientious objector to live that out without being thrown in prison, which is not the case in other parts of the world. So for that, I really am thankful. I also want to start by saying thank you. If you take a look in your bulletin, you'll notice it's on the third page. It says, our thanks to. I hope you take a look at that list each Sunday. Who is involved? Some of these folks are in the back. Some of them are in distant rooms in our building who are serving our kids. So I certainly am thankful for each of them, and I hope that you are as well. We really are participating, and that fits right in to this morning's message as well. Yesterday, Aaron and I returned home from a vacation week. We went up to the Yellowstone National Park and to the Grand Teton National Park. And the challenge was, of course, we had a 22-foot trailer that we were pulling behind our car. And the biggest challenge related to all of that is that both going and returning, we had to go through that thing that we so lovingly here in Colorado Springs call the gap. The gap. And somehow I think that we ought to add an adjective to that. It just seems, you know, because there's so much more to it than it just being a gap. All right, how about dangerous? The dangerous gap, the narrow gap, the uneven gap, the forsaken gap. Any other suggestions out there? We better be careful. This could get the miserable gap. Interminable, you boy. Yeah, we better be careful here. We could get nasty in a hurry because of how difficult of a place that is. But I do have great respect for the people that are working on that I-25 gap project. I think of the engineers that were involved, the people who did environmental studies to figure all that out, to figure out where to put underpasses for the wildlife, the people who figured out how to do the paving of it all, the ones who even had to figure out the scheduling, the sequencing, so that there would be two lanes going in each direction all the time in spite of everything that they were doing, the bridge builders, even the accountants behind the scenes and the people that are putting out the safety cones. I mean, that was an amazing project, and that is something that I think is a useful analogy for us. Those people, each one had to do their part diligently, with real commitment, and in coordination with others. And I'm suggesting to you this strange analogy that I think that in a way we can use this to describe a bit about what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means to be his chosen people in the gap between the first coming of Christ and the age to come. So I'm using the word the gap in a time sense this morning, but it also represents the reality that it's a difficult place for many of us. We are a faith community living and working together within the gap. It's an age, frankly, filled with sickness and suffering, with inequity and violence, with loneliness, with hatred, racism, things that we abhor. At the same time, we persevere because it is a time where we also see victories along the way. We see progress. We see healing, new and transformed lives, and reconciliation. We experience the blessings of God, including the reality that we are able to live within a faith community. We persevere because we have the solid hope for a future because of the promises that have been given to us by our Savior, the King of Kings, the cornerstone of the church, the one who overcame the grave and gives eternal life to those who believe in him, Jesus, the Son of God. Just like those working on I-25, we are working toward a better future. We are not just sitting by passively, satisfied with the way things are. Doing nothing with I-25 would actually make things worse. If we were just docile and passive, maybe we would not be a blessing at all. I'm sure we wouldn't be if we did nothing, if we didn't demonstrate who we were called to be as His people. The reality is there's a big difference, though, because they're doing it, they're getting paid. You know, they have to. We do it not out of a sense of have to, but out of a want to, out of a response to the love that God has shown us. We do it with a deep sense of joy in the midst of the gap. Our vision statement is something that we're reflecting upon this summer and looking at it with a little greater depth. It explains not only who we are, but also how we intend to live among ourselves, and also some ideas about how we hope we make a difference in our community, how the community perceives us. So we're going to reflect on that middle portion of our vision statement today, and it's a declaration of what we hope will be increasingly true of us as we seek to follow Christ together. I'll share some thoughts on what I believe our community is, and then also on what we intend to do. The second part of that second question, what we intend to be and do, is what is declared in our vision statement. But first, what is our community? Well, what are its characteristics, its parameters, its essential elements? Let's take a look at what's on our website. You can see it there. It says, the Bethel, this is what we call our covenant. This is sort of the beginning point out of which our vision statement then comes. So our community, we are a fellowship of persons who enter into this covenant together with the Bethel faith community. I will seek to follow Jesus. Many of us, perhaps most of us who are in this room or watching via YouTube this morning or later as a podcast, have signed that statement. We've agreed to it. We've identified it as a bit of a commitment that we are making. It's not just a mental thing. It's something that prompts us forward. So let's take a look at that covenant a little more deeply, because there are several layers to it. It may seem simple, but there's really a lot to it. It is, first of all, a statement that we individually and voluntarily choose to enter into community or be part of a congregation. There's the word I is in there. There's an individual component to it. We individually choose to be a part of this assembly of those who have accepted God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. We each say, I will seek to follow Jesus. Praise God. If we were a Baptist church, you'd say amen, right? Right? Okay, all right, very good. Dale, don't forget your roots, man. All right. Secondly, it is a statement about how we each intend to follow Jesus. Namely, it's as part of a connected fellowship. Here is how it's described in the Confession of Faith statement of the Mennonite Church USA. The church is the assembly of those who voluntarily commit themselves to follow Christ in life and to be accountable to one another and to God, recognizing that the church is imperfect and thus in constant need of repentance. The church's identity as God's people of faith is sustained and renewed as members gather regularly for worship, even on holidays. Here, the church celebrates God's boundless grace. It reaffirms its loyalty to God above all else and seeks to discern God's will. Our commitment to one another is shown in loving one another as God loves us. in sharing material and spiritual resources, in exercising mutual care and discipline, and in showing hospitality to all. The church welcomes all people who join themselves to Christ to become part of the family of God. As you can see, a community of faith is more than merely a collection of co-followers. There's more to it than that. We're more than just a collection, each of us individually pursuing what it means to follow Christ. Isn't that beautiful? We are a fellowship of persons that have declared that they want to be disciples of Jesus together. Being community is exactly what God wants for you and for me. And finally, an implied part of that very brief covenant statement is that we are committed, when we say to follow Jesus, we are also committed to knowing Jesus. But the danger is that we might create a Jesus that is most comfortable for one that we want to follow, creating him in our own image. The challenge for each of us and for us as a congregation is to have a biblically based understanding of who Jesus is and what his coming, his life, his teachings, his atoning death, and his resurrection means. He calls for us to be born again. In other words, we need a Christology that is based on what he taught, those red letters, but also that is based on what his disciples and the apostles said about him after they fully witnessed and grasped the significance of the crucifixion and the resurrection. So far we've looked at what our community is. It is indeed a community of faith. It's a faith community. Now I'm going to offer some reflections on our vision statement. And don't worry, this is in the next slide is in really small font. And I'm not going to invite you to read all of that. But let me just read the introductory section and some of the main points there. The first introductory statement, we are a Mennonite community of faith who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that we are invited to share in Jesus' resurrection. We seek to follow Jesus together by. And then there are three major portions to that. The first one being some of the things, it says we're going to focus on the life and teachings of Jesus. We are Christocentric. We read all of Scripture through the eyes, now that we fully understand what God looks like. God looks like Jesus. Jesus looks like God. So we read all of Scripture through the lens of a deeper understanding of now who God really is. Before we knew him in part, now we see more fully because we understand who Jesus is. The second portion there, and we identify some of what that means there in that first part, and that's not a comprehensive list of our beliefs by any means, but it can't be. It's not a statement of faith. It identifies some of our priorities. The second part is where we're focusing this morning, being community, which is essential to our life as members of the family of God. And I'll come back to that in just a bit. But then the third portion there is extending the love of Jesus through service and reconciliation. And now let me just reflect. And then, of course, there are some points there that explain what do we mean by that? What do we mean by, as a community of faith, serving and pursuing reconciliation? Well, as I looked at those three things, those three major divisions of the vision statement, it's important to understand that the first one really does get at all three of them. They sort of look at different issues. The first, there we go, sorry. The first section, it is sharing a few of our beliefs and the priorities that we hold in common. The second portion is about our internal life, You might think of it as our church, our internal culture. How will we live together as a congregation, a faith community? So that's what where we're really going to focus upon this morning. Then the third section is about how we will go out. It's outward looking. How we will engage with the world around us, and perhaps how we will be known by those outside of our community of faith. So let's look a little more closely at that middle section. This is about how we will live together. I want to say, first of all, you say it says being community. Why do we say it like that? The point is that by saying being community, we're emphasizing that this is part of each of our identities. We are unable to see ourselves apart, separate from this fellowship. Now, I've just said that, and I pray that it's true. I hope you see being part of the Bethel community as part of your identity. Wow, that's a powerful thing. It's not true. I mean, I was employed. I retired July 1st. This is amazing new world. But I never thought of my employer, the place that I worked, as part of my identity. Okay, no, it didn't go that deep. I mean, I'm thankful that they gave me the opportunity to serve in the way that I did, but it really wasn't part of my identity. But it's my prayer that you'll see being part of this faith community as part of your identity. It describes a very high view of what it means to be a part of the family of God. As we heard read to us from the scriptures this morning, we together are being built into a spiritual house and a part of the family of God. I think that's another amen.
Amen.
Next, I'd like for you to observe in this section of our vision statement all of the verb phrases, the action words that are included in there. Isn't that great? That's exciting. That's stimulating. And maybe say, oh boy, really? Are we supposed to do all that? So maybe it's a little frightening as well. But that's an amazing vision. It's a bold statement for us to be willing to be this engaged in each other's lives. Do you want your fellowship of faith to be involved in your life? Are you willing to be involved in our congregational life? I hope you are. This is beautiful stuff. We strive to be a welcoming community, promoting, building. We work to grow connections. We encourage all people to actively participate in congregational life and to explore the ways God is calling and equipping them to follow Jesus. Wasn't it beautiful to see the multiple generations in our singing this morning? I mean, that's beautiful. That's what it's supposed to be. So we have so much to be thankful for. So as I've reflected on this section of our vision statement, I see some major themes that come from that. The first one is, of course, we want to make connection. We welcome people into our community, even though they're at different stages in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Our calling is to love and to serve all who are seeking and responding to the good news of Jesus Christ. Making connection, that is a priority for us. That's a good thing. I don't know that that's historically been true of every congregation. In fact, it's far too often that congregations turn into clubs, you know, and have a hard shell on the outside. We shouldn't have the hard shell of an egg. We should be more like a sponge, okay? May our church be a sponge, drawing people in to what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The second section is about our life internally. We want to build relationships within our congregation of many sorts, not just with people who look like ourselves, or who come from the same background, or hold exactly the same beliefs on every issue. I remember clearly when Aaron and I walked in the door. They said, "Oh, who do you know?" We don't know anyone. What's your last name? Wilcox. It's just the natural tendency to play the Mennonite game. You know what? Where? Who? How? Well, Wilcox, of course, is an English name, and there weren't many English Mennonites. So that, you know. But you know what? That mattered for about 10 seconds at the most. And suddenly we were welcomed, and very quickly we were welcomed into a small group that made a huge difference in our lives. In other words, we have personally experienced the priority of building relationships, of making connections, and we just rejoice in that. And it's not easy to welcome people that come from greatly different backgrounds, and we still have work to do in connecting with more and building relationships. And then, of course, the third section is about participation. You saw that. We really want to seek everyone's participation and promote their growth so that they become fully equipped and become a blessing to God and to our faith community and indeed to the whole world. Well, let me just back up there again a little bit at that amazing statement. There are some, as I speak, you might read through this a bit again and reflect on what I have to say, because I think there are even some underlying values, not just topics that I shared before, but there are some other underlying values that are contained within this center section of our vision statement about being community. One, I believe, is that there is a willingness on our part to suspend judgment when we encounter difference. May that be true. May that grow in its reality. We, by our human nature, we so easily judge others when we encounter difference. They say we'd make judgments about people within seconds. It's frightening. Our community is saying that we value relationship over these differences. We seek opportunities to serve one another, not reasons to distance ourselves. We strive to live out the belief that differences do not need to create division. That is beautiful. And frankly, I don't think most churches prioritize that in the way that we do. We don't have to deny our differences. We don't have to say that every belief is equally true if sincerely believed. So we have to be careful about this sort of thing. There's a balance to all of these concepts. But we are prioritizing our love for one another. Secondly, what's, I think, deeply embedded as a value here is that we seek grace-filled relationships. The danger of prioritizing the goal of seeking grace-filled relationships possibly is that we might avoid talking about important issues because we're fearful that it could create division. May we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit as we engage in open and honest conversations. Not avoid them, but engage in open and honest conversations in a way that demonstrates that we're living with the fruit of the Spirit in spite of differences. Another underlying value within these statements is that we believe each of us has something to offer. We believe that we all have received gifts and abilities from God that can be nurtured and then offered up to God as a fragrant offering and as a blessing to others. As you read again this section on being community, can you identify where you can say, "Yes, that's me"? And also, can you find within that section something that is a place where you need to grow? Let me say that again. As you read again the section on being community, Can you say hallelujah because you found a place where you can say, yes, that's me? And can you find another place where you might say, okay, that's an area where I need to grow? I began my talk by looking at the people who are working in that difficult place of the I-25 gap. As a faith community, we're living in a different kind of gap, the gap between the first coming of Jesus Christ and the age to come, whatever that might look like. It is a time for worship right now. It's a time for worship. It's a time for service, of being the body of Christ as a testimony to the world of how an assembly of individuals who were not a people can now be a beautiful, functional, purposeful family, indeed a royal priesthood. While we are in this time, this time between, this gap, we are called to pursue harmony, to engage in the work before us with the real intent and to serve one another in love. Like the I-25 gap, we have every reason to believe that our faithfulness will result in a better world than if we had done nothing. But we have a motivation far greater than any I-25 gap worker has to be when they're called to be a team player or a co-worker. We love one another because Christ first loved us. We serve one another out of response to his love, not because we must. We seek relationship because God sought relationship with us. Amen. We encourage participation in community life because he called us as disciples to also be disciple makers. Being a part of the Bethel community is a participation in Christ when we each seek to obediently conform to the teachings of Jesus in our lives, when we respond faithfully to the baptismal covenant and to communal loyalty, we are coming to know Christ more. Our works of love and service are an extension of Christ's ministry. We become his hands, his feet. We extend the ministry of Christ as he works in us and through us. We are the Beth-El community of faith. That is a wonderful place to be. Yes, there are challenges and responsibilities to that identity, but there is also the joy of being in the family of God and growing in Christ-likeness together. Amen.